Hallelujah, hallelujah. Man, I don't know if you got your Bibles, but if you do, 2 Kings chapter number 3, it's an honor to be here. Sorry I wasn't here last night for the concert. Had to stay in Los Angeles a little longer, flew all night to get here and feel good. And everybody said, that's a miracle. Amen. Turn around, high five three people and tell them the devil's having a bad day. Amen, amen, amen. Thank God. Amen, what a dynamic group. Amen. Let me say, as an evangelist and a 16-year evangelist preaching 23 years, let me say thank you to all of you musicians and praise leaders. You are very valuable, and your value cannot be overstated, and you'll never be paid enough for what you're doing. Everybody say, I know that's right. Amen. Amen. But I've been in some tough situations trying to have revival, and somebody that was anointed of God stepped to a mic or a piano to sing or play, and the glory cloud came in, and the devil's day was numbered. Amen. So we thank God for you. Amen. I know sometimes you feel unappreciated, but that's the devil lying to you. We do appreciate you. And everybody said amen. 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 Now look at somebody, say, as nice as he was, I got to say amen now. Amen. Good to see a lot of good friends. We give honor to, amen, Brother Hoffe and his wife. How many of you appreciate Brother Jeremy Hoffe and his wife? Come on. Give him a big hand clap. Appreciate him. He's back there working in a sound booth. My God. And all of our clinicians. How many of you appreciate all the clinicians that are here teaching and training? Amen. Of course, we give honor to Brother Dugas and Brother Johnston and the whole staff here at Gateway, and good to see Sister Cammie Walker. Amen. Known her a long time. Amen. Don't ask her nothing. That way she don't have to lie and cover for me. Hallelujah. 2 Kings chapter 3. We went to Bible school together for a while, and her husband. They're great people. Good to see all of you. Now, how many of you going to help me preach? I came a long way, too far to have dead church. Amen. Now, the rules are you got to say amen. You got to open your mouth. So I'm going to say it again. I came too far for dead church. Amen. Amen. I'm going to get all y'all back in the cheap seats. Amen. Way back in the back. 2 Kings chapter 3. I do feel a word from the Lord. And we'll just see what happens. 2 Kings chapter number 3 and verse 10. And the king of Israel said, alas, and the Lord hath called these three kings together to deliver them into the hand of Moab. But Jehoshaphat said, is there not here a prophet of the Lord that we may inquire of the Lord by him? One of the king of Israel's servants answered and said, here's Elisha, the son of Shaphat, which poured water on the hands of Elijah. And Jehoshaphat said, the word of the Lord is with him. So the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat, the king of Edom, went down to him. And Elisha said unto the king of Israel, what have I to do with thee? Get thee the prophets of thy father and to the prophets of thy mother. And the king of Israel said unto him, nay, for the Lord hath called these three kings together to deliver them into the hand of Moab. And Elisha said, as the Lord of hosts liveth, before whom I stand, surely were it not that I regard the presence of Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, I would not look toward thee nor see thee. Here's the main verse. But now bring me a minstrel. Period. Emphatic. Nothing else can happen until I have a minstrel. And it came to pass that when the minstrel played, the hand of the Lord came upon him. The hymn is Elisha. So I want to preach for the next few moments on bring me a minstrel. Turn around to three people and ask them, is there a minstrel in this house? Is there a minstrel in this house? Amen. The Lord bless you and you may be seated. Three kings have united for war. The king of Judah, the king of Edom, and the king of Israel. Edom is the one that seems to be out of sync, and it rubs Elisha the wrong way because he is there. But they have formed a confederacy because they are going against the Moabites. And we could preach a lot about all of this, but to understand who the Moabites are, Moab was the son of Lot by his oldest daughter. In other words, he had incest with his daughter and Moab was born. His name literally means of his father. So he is a type and a shadow of the grossest of sins and ungodliness. And so we get the understanding that this is a wicked enemy, and they have come together, amen, to defeat a wicked and an evil spirit. These three kings have traveled some 100 miles, approximately 20 some miles a day. They've come to a place where they think and they believe that there's going to be water. But when they get there, it is a desert. It is a dry place. There is no water. So it tells us now that they are in a position where there is no life and no strength, and the ground is parched, and no doubt death is imminent upon them. So in a desperate situation, I've got a monitor popping up here short now. In a desperate situation, they call for the prophet. Amen. Thank God for a prophet. Can you say thank God for a prophet? Because they understand they need a word from God. Now, let me just be open and plain with you, and first of all, tell you I'm on your side. Amen. I've already told you how valuable you are to revivals. I like music. I like a little bit of country. I like mostly grooving my stuff. And amen. I'm a white man and a black man in a white body, and he's trying to get out. And I like some good groove in my music. Everybody said amen. So just remember that. But here Elisha gives us a picture, and the word of God tells us the value of a prophet and a minstrel. It is not a one-man show. It is not the music department battling the preachers. It's not the preachers battling the music department. But he understands clearly, amen, that if there's going to be a word of God, a prophetic word, a word of destiny, a word of future, a word of blessing, amen, then there's got to be something else that has to happen here. The reason is they are in a desert. It's full of fiery serpents and poison. Snakes, and its spiritual connotations are a type of wickedness and ungodliness. And so Elisha says, if there's going to be a word, then I've got to have a minstrel, not just a musician, not just a singer, not just somebody that likes music and is trying to be seen, but I need somebody that's got the ministry of a minstrel. We're in a desert, we're without water, we're in a desperate situation. It's life or death. And if I'm going to give a prophetic word, then I understand as a man of God, I've got to have a minstrel. Somebody say, bring me a minstrel. And so whenever this minstrel comes, this lady moves on the scene, we assume that it's a lady. It could have been a man. David was a minstrel. Miriam was a minstrel when they crossed the Red Sea, and she took that tambourine and began to praise the Lord and play and offer up a song of worship. It was a beautiful thing when Saul is tormented by demonic spirits. Somebody trying to get rid of those spirits couldn't. They finally said, somebody go get David. And David, he's cunning on that instrument. And when he begins to play, he can even drive the wicked spirits away. And you know the story, how that David came in and began to play that harp. And the devils begin to be driven away. Can I say to you, first of all, to the musicians and the singers and the praise team, that you need to get a revelation in your spirit now that the devil even recognizes an anointed worshiper. Come on, somebody. I won't be long tonight. Amen. If we need anything in our churches, we need an anointed worshiper. We don't need a talented flesh. We don't need people up there trying to be seen. We're dealing with people that are hounded from hell, and we need somebody that can drive the spirits away. Amen. Amen. I can tell you story after story of how people were in services literally demon possessed, but I could begin to watch them sitting on the platform as a choir begins to sing, or the praise team begins to sing, or a soloist doesn't just get up there to sing and do her little deal and then go back and go out in the lobby, but there's tears running down her face. There's passion in her spirit. And I've watched those sinners that were in that service as all of a sudden in the midst of that worship, we had three songs already and we had a couple other things going on, but there was no hand of God. See, it's very possible to preach or sing and there be no hand of God. Well, thank you, all eight of you. Nothing worse than being in a church where there's praise teams that have no ministry. As a preacher, sometimes I just want to just tell them to sit down. Just stop them quick. Stop them. They're attracting more devils than they're running off. And I got Bible for that. Somebody say, don't push him. Amen. When Jeroboam and Rehoboam were kings over Israel and Judah, Judah had one tribe with him and Israel had 11. Whenever it came time for them to go and worship, Jeroboam said, I'm not going to let them go to Jerusalem, because if they do, three things will happen. If I let them get their worship right, number one, they'll get right with God. Number two, their heart will get right with Rehoboam. And number three, they'll destroy me, which tells me when there's right worship, you'll be right with God. And when there's right worship, you'll be right with the man of God. And when there's right worship, you'll destroy everything that's evil in your life. We don't need worship leaders, amen, that are attracting the world and attracting sin. We don't need preachers like that either. What we need is a musician and a singer that says, I'm right with God and I'm right with God's man, and I'm going to destroy what is evil in my life. Amen. I got to hurry. I got too many stories coming into my mind, and I don't know if it's God or me, but it feels good anyway. And amen, Jeroboam says, we can't do that. And so he sets up two golden calves and puts one in the north and one in the south. And he said, behold the gods that brought thee out of worship. If you look at Dr. Schofield's scripture in the side writings, he says, and worship was made convenient. And the scripture says, this thing became a sin. Can I just throw this in here? It's not in my notes. We need a fresh baptism of inconvenient worship. Well, your lack of amen is going to make me preach you out of lunch. Amen. We need praise singers that say, you know what? I'm not going to sing out of convenience. I'm not just going to sing my one or two songs. There's something in me that says, you know what? We got to get God in here. This sinner's got to have it. And the only hope they have is if God gets in this house. You can be seated. I got a few more. I'm talking about convenient praise. Here I am. I'm just picking on you. You did good, but unless it hit. Here I am to worship. Here I am to bow down. Convenient. What would happen if a preacher got up here? Says, bring me a minstrel. And they ended up in a desert. And when I see that happen, I see singers like that, and I'm just going, God, please, give them some passion. Give them what we need is, and I'm going to dig just a little bit, but we're going to go high. So just elbow somebody, say it hurts now, but it's good pain. Amen, because I'm going to tell you what, a preacher doesn't have a chance if he don't have a minstrel. Let me just let the cat out of the bag. Elisha, here's the revelation. Elisha said, before there can be a prophet, before there can be a prophecy, before you can get a word from God, the prophet said, I need a minstrel. I don't need just a praise leader. I don't just need a piano player. I need somebody that can get up and sing until the hand of God comes. Oh, come on, somebody. I've come to challenge you with a word from the Lord. There's a revival about to break out where you are. But you got to be more than just a singer. You got to say, I'm a minstrel. I'm going to prepare the atmosphere for the preached word of God. So Jeroboam made worship convenient. You can look at it in the Chronicles when they begin to worship those golden calves. You say worship doesn't matter? Here's how much worship matters. When they begin to worship those golden calves, the Chronicles says that dancing satyrs came to those altars. Satire in scripture is always revealed as wickedness. But let's look at here. Here's what one Bible dictionary said. It's a wandering demonic creature that lurks between half beast and half human. In Greek mythology is defined as a minor deity of the woods, a god of lecherly drunkenness and unbridled fleshly lust. How we worship matters. Thank you all 18 of you. I will preach past your lunchtime. I'm going home in the morning. Amen. If you don't worship right, you attract evil spirits. There were dancing demons. They were hairy goats. There were spirits that came, amen, to those altars. They were ungodly worshipers, and they were worshiping ungodly, and it brought a foul, immoral spirit into the house. But when they saw that, the Levites said, "We're out of here." And they went to Judah. I've come to preach to somebody. We don't need satires in our church. We need a revival in our church. How you worship and how I worship matters. Whether I stand there like an idol or whether I get my praise on matters. Whether I worship with all of my heart, mind, soul, and strength matters. Look at somebody and say, "It matters." Man, I have some people say, "Well, you know, we sang." But what did you bring into the house? "Well, our choir did." "Well, our choir sang." But what did you bring in? Look at somebody and say, "What does your worship attract?" Somebody said, "Well, I feel something." See, that's the first mistake. You don't worship by your five senses. You worship by faith. Come on, I got head nods going in here right now. You got to be able to worship God if you've had an H-E double hockey stick of a day. You got to step up and say, "Hey, I got a ministry. I'm not just working a job. I'm going to drive devils out. I'm not going to attract them." You can be seated. Let me give you, for instance, I'm in church. We're promoting Azusa Street and trying to get it all ready. We're putting 400,000 flyers out the last week of April, and 300,000 people are coming for Azusa Street, and we're preaching every night all over. I was preaching Jesus Crusade the other night. Got done preaching my little sermonette for Christianettes, letting them out at a decent hour. I went and changed into my non-preaching clothes and came strutting out. Of course, anybody that knows me know I wasn't doing that. I'm just being facetious. I came strutting out to sit down and watch the show. I've done my part now. I'm preaching without preaching. I've sung my song. I'm done. Look at somebody say, "It still hurts, but it's still good." And an aunt, a lady came to me just weeping and crying. And she said, "Would you come pray with my nephew?" I said, "What's wrong?" In my mind, I'm thinking, I've dried off now. I got my non-preaching clothes on. I'm smelling good, looking good. I can't mess up now. Y'all should have got me a while ago. Look at somebody say, "He's being funny." And I said, "What's wrong?" Said, "He's 15 years old and he's hooked on methamphetamines." So I said, "Sure, I'll pray with him." So I got over there, and I got just about from here to Brother Chavis away, and the uncle had his arms, stand brother, had his arms around the young man like this. And was holding him up and was praying. This young man's hands were up and he was literally screaming for help, and he was soaking wet from head down. In withdrawals. It wasn't, as soon as I got close to him, I knew he was demon possessed. 15 years old, hooked on methamphetamines. Now, what are you going to do? That's the kind of stuff coming to our services. You want to have revival? You want to pray a bunch of people through? You got 14, 15-year-olds now hooked on methamphetamines. They try it one time. They're immediately hooked. How bad is it? One of my preacher's friends, I won't tell you what district he's at. His nephew got hooked on methamphetamines. His mom and dad had died. The boys had a rough life, didn't deserve what was dealt him. But he got hooked on methamphetamines. His grandmother was raising him. The preacher friend of mine started telling his mom, "You better get him out. You better put him in a boy's home. He's going to hurt you." He had robbed her, stole from her, had did all kinds of stuff to her. He said, he's gonna hurt you. She said, "Oh no, baby, he ain't gonna hurt me." One night she went to sleep, and in the middle of the night he was having so hard withdrawals and he wanted more meth so bad, he got in the bed and straddled her and took a screwdriver and jammed it into the side of her head, right through her ear. Thanks be to God, it bounced out the side frontal lobe and it didn't kill her. She is in bad shape right now. But what are you going to do when you get in church and you got a bunch of visitors like that and they're demon possessed and got those kind of spirits? Ladies and gentlemen, they're coming in a desert, but they don't deserve to leave in a desert. They deserve for somebody to grab a microphone and begin to say, "Here I am to worship. Here I am to bow down. Here I am to say," come on somebody, "the only hope they have is a worship that can bring the hand of God." You can be seated. Brother Laird, I love you, man. You're so anointed. All of you guys are, I'm telling you. And I love it. No matter where it's at, you're the same. That's why I was watching you. You don't really know me, but I was watching you. This ain't your home turf. I wanted to see how you did it. The praise team thought we were done after one, but you said, let's sing another one. I said, I like it, because you know why? It wasn't ready yet. We just got to get ready. Now, there's no demon-possessed people in here, I don't think. I have had some demon-possessed praise leaders. I don't feel any in here right now. Let me walk out in here amongst you. Hallelujah. Amen. But that's what I like about you. Amen. There's something about, there's ministry to it. You want to know why something happens when men like him get up and sing, or Brother Chavis? Nobody knew him from a tick on a dog's back until he went to Youth Congress and they brought him up there to talk about him being in Iraq, and they handed him the mic to sing, and a nobody, as far as everybody else was concerned, got up and started singing, and all of a sudden, bam, something hit that arena in Columbus, Ohio, and the power of God. You say, what was it? It wasn't him. It wasn't his talent. But there's something down deep in his gut that said, there's a ministry to this music. There's something in me. There's an anointing that can break the yoke. I may not be preaching, but if I can worship him with a ministry spirit, I can bring the hand of God. I'm going to leave all my notes away. What does a minstrel mean? It means to beat the, to play the tambourine with the fingers, to play. If you study it out, in the school of the prophets, there was also the school of the minstrel. The minstrel was always with the prophets. Why? Because a prophet never went anywheres without a praiser. I want you to see your value, not that you get arrogant and not that you get full of ego. Neither should preachers get that way. Everybody said amen. Hey, amen. But if we could ever see, I'm an evangelist. I've preached 23 years. And the churches that break into revival are the churches that have not only great preachers, but they got great praise. They may be talented, but more than their talent, more than the tightness of the band, there's something that begins to happen. The hand of the Lord begins to move in that. Come on, somebody. Hey, amen. That's what God is saying. We're on the brink of the greatest revival that we've ever had. This music conference isn't about talent. It's about getting a minstrel spirit so that people can be delivered. Oh, you can be seated. Can I keep preaching, Brother Hoffy? See, now the way I preach in churches, a lack of amens means I got you. Amen means you agree. As Brother Arnold said, we got to preach even if it's like a library. But if you could ever get it, I don't know where most of you, I don't know. But what would it be if something got on you this week that when you went back to your church Sunday and you took the microphone, and the hand of God, the hand movement was signification of the move of the Holy Ghost, that God was moving. What was the job of the minstrel? Listen to Jameson Fawcett Brown commentary. It said the job of the minstrel was to prepare a spiritual framework for holy influence. And let me ask you, what do you see your ministry as? Does it meet that? Or do you get upset if the lady that can't carry all the tunes just right gets up there and starts singing and the tears start flowing and the hand starts moving before your perfection gets up there? Does it upset you? You don't have to say, amen, I got you. What is this about? Been involved in a lot of great revivals. I was in a big one at Brother Keyes's in Modesto a few years ago. The first 8 Sundays I was there, I never got to preach Sunday night. Well, I'd studied all day, Sister Johnson. I had sermon notes and everything was typed out. I was ready to preach the word of the Lord. And that crazy choir and Sister Doretha Jones, she took herself so seriously. I mean, they actually were on prayer and fast chain during revival. They actually prayed about what song they were going to sing Sunday. Some of the choir members were getting upset because they were singing old numbers and not the new ones they were learning. Can I tell you, be honest enough, if the new one ain't got no thunder in it, don't sing it. Kill your ego. Don't worry about singing a new song every Sunday night. If it don't bring the hand, don't sing it. I got head nods in here now. We're Bible believers. You ain't even got no Bible for head nodding in the church. Oh, one scripture. Pharisees wagged their heads at the cross. Bible preacher, hallelujah. I mean, what difference? I mean, they were crazy, Brother Selim. They were crazy. I mean, they you know, we want them to sway together. And the fake clap, I love it. Crazy saints think y'all are clapping. They go, God, she meant the choir's clapping. They're not even making contact. Hands, no red marks. Faking them out. I understand. But they were so serious. They'd get to singing, and all of a sudden you'd see it. There'd be visitors out there, man. One night we had a Saturday Night Live. There was gang members there, three different Spanish gangs, a black gang and the white gang. They all had their dress codes. They had their holiness standards. You couldn't be in their gang if you didn't dress like them. Just say amen quick so I move on. I mean, you couldn't be in the Spanish gang with the red and white checks if you wore a green and white check shirt. That was the green and white gang. You had to be in the red and white gang. And the white guys, they, you know, honkies, they had their own dress. Big old beer bellies, t-shirts way too short, hairy belly sticking out. And they all thought they were cool, but it was their dress code, you know. Now high five somebody, say, here's all he's going to say about that. And then we got Pentecostals don't want a dress code. But if you're going to be in the gang, you got to wear what the homies wear. I'm moving on. And then the choir just crazy, bro. I mean, they got up there and got to one Saturday Night Live. They came in, there's policemen out there frisking everybody, checking them for guns and weapons. I mean, the choir's right. I mean, throwing down big old Brother Key's church, an old theater. You walked up these ramps, dropped down in it, and it was kind of a riser, running risers. And looked in the back door, and this dude, he's 475 pounds, bald headed. And he turned looking for seats and left a hair grow in the back, big old long ponytail in the back. I elbowed Brother Jeff Morgan. I said, Bo, look at the back door. He said, what is it? I said, I don't even want to look again. Look. He said, oh, my God. I said, Bo, somebody check. Are the cops still back there? I hope they're checking people still. I had my little sermon, you know. It was Lazarus come forth. The choir was singing. Got the big dude sitting back there in the back. I mean, services like it get to singing, and then people just start coming to the altar. At night, we had all those different gang members. They just sit to Walker. They just got up. Crazy people didn't know Boo had a message to preach. I've been studying all day, man. Pookie wanted to preach. I mean, you people, don't you know the rules around here? You don't get up and come to the altar. Now you let me preach, then you come to the altar. But the choir, they weren't just singing. They were singing. And they felt something. Now, most of us Pentecostals, I understand. All of us dead, dry Pentecostals, we got to have 32 songs, and you got to do the Batman music, you know. We don't do that because we feel God. We're doing that to get the deadheads moving. Amen? And I like it. I can dance to Batman. That's cool. You know, hey, get your praise on. You know, hey, I know what you're doing. It's tired of singing to people that act like them pillars. I understand. Man, just say amen. You ain't got to fake it. You pull out the Batman music, Bo. Isn't that frustrating, Brother Larry? Sing that big old fancy song, you don't do nothing, play the Batman music. I mean, they just break and run. They're crazy. I mean, they didn't know all the rules, Brother Parky. They just jump up and start running. They were throwing dope marijuana papers on the one guy had a little gold little pan in his little man purse, whatever that is. Jesus' name. Man purse. Elbow somebody, say, we need some deliverance up in here. God of glory. And I'm picking up too much stuff. I got to hurry. 12:45, chicken's brewing. And they'd run up there and pop the top on that gold can, and there was little bent spoons they were melting their dope in. There was little needles in there. There was rubber bands in there, big pieces of rubber bands they'd tying their arms off with, and they were sucking the dope up in there. And right in the middle of the choir singing, they're walking, not my sermon, the choir singing. They run up there, start throwing this stuff all over the platform. They're taking a little piece of paper with angel dust all in it and PCP, and they're opening it up, laying in it, or falling out, getting the Holy Ghost. I'm standing there going, I mean, I'm from the Bible Belt. We don't do it like that in the Bible Belt. What was happening? The choir was singing. But not just singing, the hand of God was coming on them. And all of a sudden, they see their destiny. They see their future. It was Easter Sunday. I'll never forget it. I mean, we've been blowing and going. Brother Key said, look, you've been here 5, 6 Saturday, Easters. He said, I want you to preach Easter Sunday. So I've instructed the choir to sing slow stuff. I don't want no fast songs. And Brother Keys looked at me. He said, now, you know how me and you are. If we get to dancing and shouting around here, he said, they'll take off. He said, I don't want you playing the tambourine this morning. We're going to stay calm. He said, because I want you to preach. So we're acting like some other saved people. Well, I'm not emotional. I'm not built that way. No, you haven't got the revelation of what a minstrel spirit would do to you. See how tight that got? See, I need to preach on through chicken, I'm telling you. Here's what we do. Well, if I feel something, Brother Carter, then I'll really get with it. Well, here's one I like. Boy, if I just felt, I tell you what, if the Lord kept on pushing me, I'd have danced in the spirit. Why, almost, boy, I'm telling you, boy, I'm telling you, I almost, boy. Hey, boy, hey, oh, he's now, oh, now. Boy, I just tried me, like God's got, you know, like God's going. I mean, come here. Can you imagine God saved you and God's got to go, worship me? Worship me. Boy, if he'd have just shut me one more time, shut me. Come here, Pookie. Say, that's what they do. That wasn't God. I'm leaving. That was my flesh. You ain't got no Bible where God forces you to worship. You ain't got no Bible where God picks you up by the hair head and spins you around like a top. You begin to think of the goodness of Jesus and something in you says, I got to praise him. I may bow, I may jump, I may cry, but I got to praise him regardless of how I feel. I'm going to hurry. So we got to sing a little choir, got this. You know, singing them slow Easter songs. And crazy Doretha, you know, she just lost her mind. She just ruined so many good sermons. Just ruined them. I mean, just ruined good old sermons, Sister Dugas. And all of a sudden, grown men, sinner men, 18 grown men just get up. You know, all of us Pentecostals, we have our non-church clothes on now, our non-sweating clothes. We've got our Easter best. We are not having church on Easter Sunday. Bless God, I paid $22 for this tie. I am not sweating it out. Ain't it funny how you can go buy your Louis Vuitton purse and all of a sudden lose your praise? Your St. John dress, God ain't got a snowball's chance in hell getting you to worship. Fellas, wear your Hugo Boss, you know. I'm preaching good, ain't I? I mean, you know, you could see. I wish I had a video camera at Brother Keith's because he could have videotaped some of the saved folks, quote unquote saved folks. When all these sinners, Brother Parker, these grown men, just start coming. You see safe folks going, we got Easter lunch cooking. You can't go. No, don't do that. No, not now. Come back tonight. We'll shout tonight. I'm going to buy my own tape if I keep this up. I'm telling you. I'm preaching good, boy. I'm telling you. No. And Brother Keys, I see Brother Keys. He's standing there. Trying to. There are no sinners in the altar. I do not see anything. These are not grown men that need the Holy Ghost. I don't see anything. Finally, Brother Keys helped him. He said, all right, Godwin, let's check them out. Make sure they're for real. All the way across the platform, I looked back at Brother Keys and I went, they look good to me. And Brother Keys went just like this. He went, all right. And that was the signal. Hit the pulpit, scream for 3 minutes, and give an altar call. I mean, they don't teach you this at Bible college. There's no homiletics in, this is the Holy Ghost. Sin is your problem. Jesus is your answer. Come on down and come on. All saved people are going, sinners are like, come on, get out of the way. I'm preaching good, ain't I? I mean, they're just climbing over people. When the service was done, 28 people had got the Holy Ghost that Sunday morning. You know what it was? It wasn't preaching. You know what it was? It was a choir. It didn't matter if it was fast or slow. There was a minstrel spirit on it that said, you know what? We're not just going to sing a song. We're going to prepare the framework here for a move of God. Come on, I'm through right now. I want to preach to somebody in here. You're going to leave this music conference not with just good material and new songs to learn, but there's going to be the spirit of the minstrel that comes upon you, and you're going to shake your city through your praise. Stay standing. When that word moved on that prophet, the hand of God came upon him. There was a bubbling. I hope I've been kind of crazy here this morning. Didn't intend to, but here we are. What are we going to do in time? You're the next generation. What are you going to do when we just had a pornographic child porno ring broke up that was worldwide? 13 of them were in the United States. One of them was a Sunday school teacher. I think I can be plain here. They say normally they keep it, it's kind of at a normal ebb. The same pictures of the same kids. But in the last couple of years, they've noticed new children. And they've noticed an increase of the grotesqueness and the violence of the abuse. Where one man videotaped and showed it live over the internet of him molesting a 7-month-old child. And then here we come to church. I'm going to be preaching at a church Sunday morning. The pastor called me the other day. And he said, Brother Godwin, he's up in Van Nuys, California, the porno capital of the world. He's having a revival. You know where it's breaking out, Brother Parkey? It's breaking out in Hollywood. An old jazz guitarist by the name of Johnny Lang got the Holy Ghost. And there's two or three others, I can't remember their names, but they've got the Holy Ghost and they've got crazy witnessing to people. Sunday morning, they had 60 Hollywood Center visitors in this little building. 60. 5 of them flew all night long from New York City to land at the Burbank Airport to go to church in that little humble building in Van Nuys. The pastor, Brother Airwood, he told me, he said, Brother Godwin, I'm so excited. I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. I said, I know what to do. I said, bro, just get your praise and worship going. He said, we've been on a 40-day prayer and fast chain in our church. We've been praising and worshiping God. And I said, I may not preach. I was thinking about this message. I said, I may not preach. I said, because in the middle of that worship, if the Holy Ghost is moving, I said, we're going to give an altar call and we're going to try to pray every one of them through. They went the other day to teach a Bible study on one of the movie scenes, on one of the movie sets. And when Brother Airwood and this young man come walking in, guys up on the scaffolding looked down and hollered, said, there he is. There's that guy that's telling us about Jesus' name baptism. And he's got his preacher. They stopped filming the movie, came down out of the stands and out of the scaffolding and sat right
there on a movie set and is teaching him a Bible study about Jesus' name baptism. Come on. Come on, I've come to tell you we're on the brink of the greatest revival. It don't matter if you're the only singer in your church. You need to pray, God, this week in St. Louis, let the spirit of the minstrel come on me so the hand of God can move. Grab somebody by the hand. I could talk to you about the words of praise. You know them, though. I could talk to you about Adon having a pedestal, a foundation of praise. An attitude that has a foundation that says, I'm a worshiper. Doesn't matter whether the music's playing or not, I've got an Adon. I've got a foundation of praise in me. Could talk to you about Barak, which means to humble yourself under the magnanimous power of God. I wonder what would happen to preachers and praisers if when we place what I like about your spirit, it's humble. He's not only talented, but he's humble. I wonder what would happen if there was a humility in our praise. You may be the cat's meow and the dog's bow wow, but if the Holy Ghost don't show up, your talent's only going to take you so far. Am I preaching? There's got to be an attitude in us as praisers and preachers where when we're praising, you mean I'm in the tribe of Judah? You mean I get to lead the glory? You mean when we go to battle, I get to lead? And so we sing the song, Send Up Judah. And to most of us, it's just a good groove. Hey, Send Up Judah. Everything, you know. Send up praise. Dun, 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 dun. I'm doing good, ain't I, Bob? And it never even clicks what we're singing. There has to be a humility in us, says God. I could be in the tribe of Dan or some crazy place, but you got me in Judah. I get to lead. I get to camp right outside the door of the tabernacle. Did you know the only people that got paid in David's tabernacle was the praisers? They said, it don't matter. Baloney. David said, I know it matters. I'm paying y'all. Everybody go ahead and say amen. I wish I had some of that. Just go ahead and say amen. You ain't got to be fake with me. We could talk about yada, which is to confess or give thanks. It's public worship. It's not the worship of an isolated individual. See, your job as a music leader is first of all to establish an Adon, a foundation. Then your job is to bring a spirit of humility into your worship. Then your job is to take it and get the whole congregation. That's what Brother Laird was doing. He said, come on, everybody, come on, we're going to have church. What was he doing? He's trying to move us up into the third dimension where it's everybody. You can't get into yada with just 15 or 20%. It's got to be the whole congregation's got to be doing it. And then if we go any further, we'd go into Zamar, which is the praise upon the musical instruments. Oftentimes accompanied with dancing. It's the praise of whenever we praise the name of the Lord in a dance, the music's playing. It's all right. Is you can dance when the music gets to playing as long as your dance is unto the Lord. And get out and get to praising him. The name of the Lord becomes a direct object of yada. And then we move into Zamar, accompanying the musicians. I wonder what would happen if are you a musician here today? And you wonder why when certain musicians get up, something always happens. And you get up and you play the same song. You came and let them teach you and you learn the same licks on the piano, the drums or the bass. And you pop it, but nothing happens. Anybody be honest? I got two honest guys over here. I've preached and wondered why nothing happened. Have you ever sang and wondered why it was just a song and nothing happened? Am I preaching good, Brother Larry? See, now what's normal among us is, oh, we just let it go. And here's what we do. Well, I guess the Lord didn't want to move tonight. You can't prove that by Scripture. Show me anywhere Jesus showed up at church and he didn't do something. So whenever you play that instrument, you know I'm zamaring. This is a ministry. Then we move into Shabbat, which is to arouse, address the Lord with a loud voice, and Ruah, which is to split the ears with sound. It's the praise. It was the shout that was offered at the walls of Jericho. And literally, this is a praise where one Bible commentary said that when they began to shout, they were not to look to the left or to the right when they shouted. It's kind of like whenever you as a little kid and you stand on the side of the pool and you first ones to jump in, it's freezing cold and you want your buddies to go in with you. Come on, one, two, three. And you help them go first in case they don't want to go. You don't do that with this praise. You don't worry about what Sister Sally's doing or Mr. Cool Dude over here is doing. When it comes time, when you get into that seventh dimension of praise, there is a shout. The word literally comes from a root word that means to split, to break, to cause something to crumble. That's why when Israel had been quiet 7 days and they went, it wasn't just a scream. They were screaming out of praise because they had been on a 40-year death march. They had watched 672,000 men be buried. That was 82 funerals a day. And now it was time to possess the promised land. And when they let this praise out, they said, we're bringing these walls down. Grab somebody by the hand. I'm over. Grab somebody by the hand. I'm not the finisher. By the time this thing ends up tomorrow night, my prayer is that the ministry of the minstrel will come upon you. Is that all right? Because what your pastor needs is for you to prepare the framework. For if God moves it that far, that now, one writer said that that minstrel would draw the mind of the prophet from the outer world, bring him into focus on the word of God. That's what your church needs. That's what your city needs. And that's what the visitors that will be in your building Sunday will need. They won't need necessarily our talent. All that they need to know is, my God, I feel something in here. Lift your neighbor's hand right now in the Holy Ghost. Now I wonder how many musicians and music leaders are hungry now. God, this chapel is full of people that are your praise leaders. They are the leaders of the tribe of Judah. The most sincere and honest praisers that we've got, God, they're under one roof today. We come to you, God, humbly asking you, God, don't let us just sing and play. But when we sing and play, let your hand come upon us. Let people's destiny be unveiled. Let drug habits be broken. Let sins, amen, be delivered. Let people be delivered of sins. Let habits be broken. Let sinners be saved. Let church problems be neutralized. Amen. With the spirit of praise that comes into the house. Music's going to play. I want you, if you're sincere and you really want that minstrel spirit to come upon you, it wasn't my goal to preach it to you shouted today, but to get you to focus now. You got another night. You got two more nights and another day. Amen. To say, God, you got to do something. I want you to step out of your seat. I want you to make your way to this altar really quick. Amen. Come on. As a sign of commitment. God, I want to leave St. Louis different than I came. Come on. Hands are up. Hands are up. Hands are up, God. Do something to me. Do something to me. Do something to me. Come on, send him up.
Send up to.
Come on, grab somebody by the hand. We need Judah to come out of St. Louis. We need Judah to come out of St. Louis.
Send up Judah.
Come on, somebody.
Yeah, send up Judah.
Your turn and give him praise. Come on, lift your hands up. God, I want Judah to flow out of me. I want praise to flow out of me. Come on, come on, come on.
Send up Judah. Well, send up Judah.
Send up Judah. Come on.
For everything he has done,
for every victory
he has won,
send up praise. Lift your hands up and praise him.
And everything that
come on, praise leader.
Praise.
praise the Lord.
Let it get on you.
Let everything that happens, praise the Lord. Let everything that happens, praise the Lord.
Come on. Come on.
Let everything that happens, praise the Lord.